So we are leaning on the Lord this morning and desiring the Lord to bless his word. I've been earnestly praying for the Lord to give us direction this week. We've been, the last few messages have sort of been connecting messages, and we have the burden that we have is that we have such a vision of God in his great power, what he has for you and me. And so we dealt with that great power toward mankind in one of the messages. And one of the messages was about the Spirit of God. God is a spirit, but we also have a spirit. And how that God wants to work with our spirit and minister to our spirit. He wants to influence our spirit to choose life. Because he says, I set before you this day life and death. And he says, I want you to choose life. So the Spirit of God is that working power. The last message we dealt with the fullness of the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is so important for our lives, and that we be filled with his Spirit. And so many people are afraid of that. They are fearful of what the Spirit might call or require of them. But I want to tell you, it's a blessed Spirit. And I think that we emphasized in one of the messages, the sweet Spirit of God. And so this morning we're going to re-quote. In each of the messages, we've used a quote from Brother Hargrave from 1989. And I know these two will remember Brother and Sister Hargrave and their family. But this is a little quote that Brother Hargraves spoke in a message in 1989, and it left an impression on me and seemed appropriate with the series of messages that we're bringing. And it says, there is a Spirit of God that animates and charges all godliness and righteousness and truth. And I said, I think every time I've quoted it, I've said, I better say that again so you can get a hold of it. But I'm going to go ahead and give it in the way that I wanted it expressed or felt expression with it. And it says that the Spirit of God brings to life and is the moving force. That's what those words mean. It is the moving force of all godliness and righteousness and truth. So another thing that we, scripture, a passage from Ephesians, the first chapter, verses 17 through 19, we started out with in some of the other messages, and it was a prayer that Paul was praying for the saints at Ephesus. And I'm just quoting it like the core thoughts of those scriptures, and I'm presenting it from a third person, so it's not going to read exactly as it is in the scripture, but it says that God, Paul's prayer was that God, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, may give unto them the spirit of wisdom and revelation, and that the eyes of their understanding be enlightened, and that they may know the hope of his calling and the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And furthermore, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the work of his mighty power. So we're going to emphasize a portion of that prayer in the little thought this morning, but we want to encourage us that Christ prayed a prayer for us. He said in one place in John, about the 16th chapter, maybe 17th, and it says that uh, he did not necessarily pray for the world, but he prayed for those that would believe. And so all down through the centuries, that included those people that would believe. So we can say that Christ prayed for us long before we were ever in this world. And he also then, he said, I don't ask that you take them out of this world. I pray that you keep them from the evil of this world. That is a prayer that is ongoing and ever working in God's chosen people. And his chosen people are only those who have chosen him. We become his chosen when we choose him. Thank the Lord. And then we are encouraged to know that he is sitting at the right hand of the Father at this very moment. And he's interceding. He's praying for you and me that we not fail. Thank the Lord. So that's just part that we want to encourage us this morning, but we want to also say that it's important for each one of us to have a vision. And we're not going to necessarily preach on vision, but it's very important that we have some kind of spiritual vision to believe in all that we're going to say. And the scripture does say that we will perish if we don't have that kind of vision. So I pray this morning, I pray that each one of us will get a vision that is inspired by God's Holy Spirit, and that the word will be made alive, and that the power of his word will be manifested to each one of us here. So the portion of Paul's prayer that we want to focus on this morning is the riches of his glory, of the inheritance in the saints. Now that's a big subject, and we won't be able to cover it in to its entirety. But what I pray is that the word will find lodging in your heart and mind, and you will leave and you will go home and begin to search it out and begin to apply it to your life. Now, that's my prayer. So may the Holy Spirit take the words this morning and find lodging and in your heart, and that it will minister to you. So now in the beginning of this, we're going to start with a scripture in Proverbs 8, and it's in verses 18 and 19 and 21, because what we're going to emphasize is durable riches. This passage says, riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness, and my fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. Verse 21, I cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. What a scripture. You know, oftentimes, I'm thinking, we have a board game, and it's called, have any of you ever played the board game Life? Are you familiar with it at all? Well, I'm not real familiar with it, but Sarah has been playing the game with both of the boys, and you know, it didn't take them very long to understand what a little bit about life. And I was listening to them as they started to play a game, and one of the boys says, well, I sure hope I get a job with good income. They were already thinking of income. Well, the game of life, it is all about life. And it's about making the right choices and decisions in life. And it's made partly by drawing a card, and you get that opportunity. But life itself is not necessarily like that. But we're all in this world, and the scripture says we're not of this world, but we're in this world. And so the world and the things that we have to choose in this world are going to affect us. Our choices are going to affect the decisions of life. And in the game, they choose education and careers and housing and income and marriage and children. It's all about life itself. It's a good teaching game for children that are old enough to understand it. But to be successful, they found out they needed a good income. So I wrote it down like this. In real life, we become aware of these things to make it or to be successful. So it made my mind go to some of the things that are very much more obvious and practiced, I'm going to say it that way, in this age than it was in my time or my parents or former generations. But one of the things is estate planning. It's something that is on the radio. There are talk shows about estate planning, and it makes people very conscious of their income and their savings and their preparations. And so the younger generations, many of you are probably familiar with what is called estate planning. And I'm thinking of when Lorne and I got married. We never even talked about finances, which this generation, the younger generation, is an obvious subject when they get together. We got married with $50 to our name, and that was a gift from my parents, $50. But you know, we didn't file bankruptcy. We lived a good life. We learned about money. But you know, money can become too important with a lot of people today, because even for young people, they begin to talk about retirement, and they begin to prepare for retirement at a young age. We never even thought of it. The truth of the matter is that I never thought we would retire. And I personally wasn't concerned about retirement, and I don't think Lauren was either, because, you know, we thought the Lord would come. Well, the Lord hasn't come. And so there came a time that retirement did. We had to face it. And were we as prepared as what the young people of today will be? No. But you know, the Lord has taken care of us. He took care of us. So I'm going to give you some scriptures just to start out with concerning what the Word says about money. You know, we all need money to survive. There's some basic needs that everyone depends on. We need money. We need food. We need shelter. We need clothing. Those are basics. And you know, God, He said, I will supply all of your need. According to what? My riches in glory. And so it's when I get acquainted with Him and His riches and what He can do for. Oh, do you love the old time stories, the pioneer stories, or even of your grandparents or other generations? We have stories from my grandparents' generation that they came down to the last food. And my grandmother prepared the meal for the children. And she and my grandfather did not eat. They had no money. And you know, my grandfather went to the mailbox and there was a check. And those kind of stories are so rich, so meaningful, when you see that at the last minute, God stepped in. And he's a rich God, and he can supply all of our needs. But none of us here today have ever really been in a place that our pantry was empty, or that we didn't have the money to pay the next bill. We're spoiled. We're really a spoiled generation. But God wants to prove himself to us in ways for this generation. We may not be in the time of the when the stock market fell, my parents went through that, and everything became so important. Every thread, they kept every thread, every button, everything that they might need. So here's what the word of the Lord says about money. And again, we know that we all need it. God knows it. The love of money is the root of all evil. It further says in that particular passage that if we covet it, we can err from the faith. Now, there's the secret. It's the love and how much we covet it. So that's what makes this scripture important for us to remember. And they that will be rich, that's my goal. I'm going to be rich. There are people that set out and they say, I want to be a millionaire. And in this day, there are ways of planning that you can be a millionaire. The average man can possibly reach that goal, but it says that they fall into temptation and a snare. And then it says, take heed and beware of covetous. And this was one of the scriptures my husband would quote. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Another one says, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Do you need a vision now? Or do we look at the things around us and say, oh, this will make me happy if my bank account is such amount? God is wanting us to look to him, that he's a rich God and he's able to help us in every detail and affair of life. I believe that he's provided for all of us. Can you raise your hand? I'm not asking for anybody to raise their hand, but could you say, life has been just pretty good. I haven't been destitute. And the Lord has done that. We need to give him the glory. But our thoughts this morning is not going to be centered on the world's goods and on the revenues of life. So again, I pray that we will have a clear spiritual vision of true riches or durable riches. So our first scripture is going to be in Matthew, the 13th chapter, in verse 44. And it says, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure that is hid in a field. And when a man found it, he hideth the treasure, or this treasure, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Now, he saw something that was very valuable, a treasure. and it was something that was hid in a field, and in order for him to have it, he had to buy the field, and he knew what it would take. It would take everything that he had. But if he did sell everything he had and go and buy this field that had this hidden treasure, he would be rich. And then the next verse says, again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, he went and he sold all that he had and he bought that pearl. Same principle, very same principle. He saw value. He saw something that was worth more than all that he had at that time. And so he bought that, and it made him rich. Maybe not in the ways of a millionaire today, but he was rich in something that would last a lifetime. It would not only last a lifetime, but it goes over into eternity. It determined eternal life. Is that of great value? Absolutely. That's what we're working for. And we go on to another scripture that Jesus said, and it's Mark, the 8th chapter. We're going to be looking at some core of the verses 34 to 37, and it says, "Whosoever will come after me," you have to deny yourself. You have to deny that part that is reaching out for the worldly, earthly treasures. And then you have to take up your cross. Does everyone have a cross? You have a cross. Jesus said, you have to take up your cross. It's got your name on it. My name is on a cross. And I have to take it up every day. I have to bear my cross. And do I just bear a cross? No. I'm taking my cross and following Jesus, because he had the cross. The song says, "Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free?" No, there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. So this is what Jesus has said. Now that's the beginning of it. And then he brings his thoughts to those he was speaking to, and he wanted them to really consider the value of the cross. And he said, "Whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life." Oh, it sounds hard for me to lose my life, but it says that if I lose my life, or if I give up my way, my choices, my purposes, and I get them focused completely in the right way, it says I'll save my life. There's a way for us to save our lives, and it's going to make me rich. And then Jesus said, what will it profit anyone if he would gain the whole world and lose his soul? So Jesus is trying to say, what is the value of your soul? That's the part that can be rich and last for all eternity. So there is a thought. If I gain the whole world, and in the end I lose my soul, what profit will that be? So I'm going to call this next little part spiritual commerce. What is commerce? It's buying and selling and doing business. It's a spiritual, for spiritual is spiritual investment with expected returns. When you make an investment, don't you look at the possible return? We all do. That's part of this world. Well, there is a spiritual world that you can make an investment and expect some returns. So we're looking at Revelations 3 and 18. And remember, this is called spiritual commerce. I counsel thee, buy of me gold that is tried in the fire, that ye may be rich. You want to be rich today? Here's the best way to do it. He gives us the counsel. Buy gold. Have you ever heard any advertisements on the radio about investing in gold? I wonder how much they pay for those advertisements. And I really haven't ever been acquainted with somebody that took all of their money, and because they say the gold is safe. But I'm not familiar with those things. But I want to tell you, the gold that he is talking about here is safe. You can buy it and not expect any loss. What about in the last 2 or 3 years with COVID and how it affected the stock market? Most people that had invested in the stock market, they just left it. They were advised, don't worry about it, it'll come back. Just leave it alone, don't try to move it. These things that were being said, well, I want to tell you, in this world, the commerce of investing and expecting returns goes up and down. If you look at a chart, you'll see that those graphs are just about like a mountain and a valley, and it just goes like that, and you just live with it. But I want to tell you, there is a way for you to be so rich, and you never have to worry about a low point in your investment, because it will always have a return. It will have a return in this life. The scripture says something about, I don't have this scripture, if we have hope of this life only, we would, something will be, what? We would be of all men most miserable. Good, thank you. Listen, our hope is not for this life. We're just living in this life. And one scripture calls us pilgrims that are just passing through. This world is not my home, the song says. Oh, we love what God has given us in this life. We've had good lives, haven't we? We don't really have that much to complain about. Really, our country, oh, we may complain about certain things politically, but I want to tell you, we haven't been as other countries. We haven't been suffering persecution. So we have much to thank God for. But he wants us to focus on the life to come. So the next scripture I'm going to... Oh, wait, I haven't finished that one. Oh, we got to finish it. It says, I counsel thee, buy of me gold tried in the fire, that ye may be rich. Then he skipped down a little bit in there, and I put this part in there because it's a continuing thought about buying. Buy of me white raiment. White raiment represents salvation. It represents the cleansing blood of the Lamb, and we're all in eternity going to receive a white robe, we believe. And then it says, and then anoint thine eyes that thou mayest see. Didn't we say we needed a vision? Well, we need the Spirit to anoint our eyes that we can see through these things, see the value of these things. Proverbs 23 and 23, it's another one about buying. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also buy wisdom and instruction and understanding. Did you know you can buy wisdom? You can pay the price for it. You can buy instruction. You can buy understanding. And you can buy the truth. What does the scripture say about the truth? Well, it's connected with the message last Sunday on the Holy Spirit. We spoke about that room that was empty. It was swept and garnished. The strong man had been cast out. That it needed to be filled, because the Spirit came back to see if that room was going to be filled. And when it wasn't, he went and he took seven other spirits, and the last state of that man was worse. But when God cleanses us through salvation, he wants to do another step. He wants to put his Holy Spirit filling that empty room. Thank the Lord. Oh, it's filled with Christ, and it's filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And so this scripture connects to last Sunday. Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Then I skip over to another one, and it says, howbeit, the Spirit of truth is come, and he will guide you into all truth, and he will shew you things to come. That's the work of it. That's the value of it. That's how we can be rich, because we need to be guided. We need to be taught. We need the Spirit of truth. And so therefore, that scripture that says, buy the truth and sell it not, is connected with the Spirit of truth. I was studying in one of the commentaries, and I thought this little passage, it's just a short little paragraph, and I'll try not to be too long in this morning, but it says, when we choose to suffer loss in our temporal interest than to deny the truth, then we will buy it. See, there's an attitude there. I'm choosing, I'll give up anything, but I'm going to keep the truth. Then we will buy it. It is the pearl of great price, and we must be willing to part with all rather than part with the faith or with the truth. We must not sell. Do not part with it for pleasures, honors, nor riches. Do not neglect the study of it, nor throw off the profession of it. That's just a little portion of what a commentator spoke of this scripture. So Deuteronomy 8 and 18, it says this. Now we're passing on to a little different phase of the message this morning. It says, remember the Lord thy God. It is he that giveth power to get wealth. Yes. What kind of wealth is it talking about? The durable riches. He's the one that can give us the power to be rich spiritually. Thank the Lord. 1 Chronicles 29 and 12. Both riches and honor come of thee. In thy hand is power and might, and in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength. I would think that most of us don't cry out to the Lord and say, oh God, make me great. Most of our prayers would be, oh God, teach me and keep me humble and keep me hid behind the cross. That's where the riches are. But he wants to give us that kind of greatness. And we have to have a vision of seeing the value of that which may not appear as great in the eyes of the world. So Proverbs 13 and 7, there is that that maketh himself rich. I have a choice. I can make myself rich in this world. Yet hath nothing. What does that mean? Their balance in their bank account shows differently. It shows that they have they're well established. They're not going to really worry about the future. And then the scripture says, but they have nothing. Nothing of what? The riches that are durable. And then it says, there is that that maketh himself poor, and yet hath great riches. Do we need to understand that? It caused me to think about the scripture over in Matthew, the 5th chapter, verse 3. It said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And I've told you this before, that I have written in my Bible, and I got it probably from another translation, but it just spoke to me. And it says, all that heaven stands for is at your disposal. That's what that means when it says that the ones that are poor in spirit, do you know what that means? That means I can't save myself. I can't really help myself. But there's one that can. And then when it says that everything that heaven stands for, what does it stand for? It's the durable riches. It will work in this life, and it will work in the life to come. Thank the Lord. Hebrews 11, 24 to 26. We're just going to refer to parts of those verses, speaking about Moses. Moses chose to suffer affliction with the people of God more than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And then listen to this. He esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches. That's what we need. We need to choose the greater riches, and we need to have that same mindset that even though there is a reproach, are there reproaches in serving Christ? There are. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He knew there was a reward. We can know there is a reward for our choices. Choosing the riches that are, I'm going to say, unseen, because the spirit world, we don't see it. But the riches are of something that we don't necessarily see. Our last scripture is 1 Timothy 6 and 19, and it says, lay up in store. Now, this is something, it's up to me, it's up to you. It says, lay up in store a good foundation against the time to come. Now, you know, the scripture also says, consider the ant and what they do, they prepare for the winter. And so they lay up in store. And God made them that way, created them that way. And it's not wrong for us to lay up in store financially for a time to come. But he's speaking of the time of his return. When he comes back, what are we doing to prepare for his return, or against the time to come? And then it says to lay hold on eternal life. A little portion of a song in our book, number 248, came to my mind, and down at the end of it, the writer said, oh, how rich is my condition. When we understand and have a vision of the durable riches, we'll be able to say with that writer, oh, how rich I am. I thank the Lord this morning that he can make us wealthy, that he is the one that has the power to give us this wealth. Thank the Lord. You pray for me.